Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. We are going to continue in our current series, Seven Methods of Bible Study. We've already outlined our studies, but we're going to repeat that these seven methods are really seven avenues into the wonders of the Word of God. The first avenue we have called devotional, and in that will lead us into the person of the Lord. And then the second avenue we will call doctrinal. That leads us into the principles of the Lord. The Lord has definite ways of doing things. Then the third avenue we're going to call practical. It's the provision of the Lord for us right down here in our need where we live. And then we're going to call the fourth avenue historical. It will lead us to see the mercies of the Lord. And that is the one that is going to occupy us today, the historical aspect. And then, five, that we're going to name this avenue typical, illustrative, because we see in it the magnification of the Lord. And then one avenue we must call prophetical, because it outlines the schedule of the Lord, and the Lord does have a schedule, and he tells us ahead of time what's going to happen. And then we're going to talk about the avenue called dispensational, the order of the Lord, and God is a God of order. Now today we wish to concern ourselves with the historical aspect of the scriptures. The Bible is a book of history. It's wonderful history. It's inspired history. And it's the history of two men, Adam and Christ. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read in verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven." Two Adams, the first and the last. Now, they are the heads of a federal race. Adam is the head of the natural race, and Christ is the spiritual head, or is the federal head, rather, of the spiritual race. Now, we have to be born into these two families, into these races. All of us are a member of Adam's race. And let's hope that if not now, soon afterwards, very soon, all listening to the broadcast will indeed be in that spiritual race. Now, we were born into Adam's family, and we must be born into God's family. And that takes place when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. In the third chapter of John, the Lord tells Nicodemus there, that learned man, that noble man, Nicodemus, he tells him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in the same chapter, he illustrates to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was puzzled, but he illustrates to Nicodemus how that it happens. And John 3:16, I think, is the climax of what the Lord had to say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. Think of that, if you will, please. Now, what happens? This is what happens. We're born again by the Spirit, except a man be born of the Spirit. How does that take place? We are born of the Spirit the moment that we put our trust in Christ. The Spirit of God puts the life of Christ in you and in me. Now, don't ask me how he does it. I don't even know how I was born the first time. I wasn't consulted. But there's something very, very staggering in its import. You and I determine whether or not we're going to be born into that spiritual family. That is our responsibility. God has made provision, but we don't have to take it. And God wants us in that family. He loves us. But God has created us free moral agents, and he's not going to interfere with our choice. But he wants to indeed have us in his family. Now, the moment, as I said before, the moment that we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for our sins, and that the work that saves is done, we don't have to do a thing except to accept Christ. The Spirit of God puts the life of Christ within us. And that's the life that lives forever. That's why it's eternal. It's the life of Christ. We read, for instance, in Galatians 2:20, that great man, the Apostle Paul. This is the way he puts it, and I love it. He says there, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, he is that life. And that life is put within us. Now, when we accept Christ, we are born into God's family. We are in the race of the federal head of the spiritual race, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. How wonderful. All right, now we're going to talk about what mercy brings us. And when we're talking about the history of the Bible, we're talking about the mercies of the Lord. The mercies of the Lord grant us deliverance. I'm going to read some verses that speak about deliverances that have already been granted and the deliverances that can still be ours. Let's talk about David's deliverance. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3, we read these words. "Incline your ear," Isaiah writes to Israel, "and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." He's speaking for God. He's quoting God. The invitation is of God. He's writing, however, to Israel. Let's read it over with that thought in mind. "Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Was David granted the mercies of God? Oh, David was in dire circumstances. He was able to say, "There is but a step between me and death." Saul was seeking him with an army of 3,000 because he considered him a contender to the throne. Actually, he had nothing to fear in David. Although David had been anointed to be the king of Israel, David was not going to remove Saul, who was also anointed. But here he is. David is being sought, but God delivers him in his mercies, and they were sure mercies. When God says that a man's going to be king, he's going to be king. And Samuel anointed David as the king of Israel. There was another king that was anointed. Our Lord Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be the king of Israel in that millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about Israel's deliverances. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 13 we read, "Thou and thy mercies hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." It was an act of mercy. God delivered them. This is in the Song of Moses, right after the children of Israel had come out of the Red Sea, and the Red Sea destroyed their enemies. They sang this song, and they're talking about the mercy. "Thou and thy mercy hast led forth thy people." Oh, Israel knew the mercies of God. The mercies of God are really the product of his love, the product of his sympathy. Paul even speaks of the deliverances of the Lord. He even speaks of the mercies of the Lord in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We read there in verse 11, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly, in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundance, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." and then all of the redeemed are the recipients of God's mercy. For instance, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, and, or chapter 1 really, and verse 3. We'll get to it in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And here it is. Peter is speaking, and oh, I love Peter's writings. He is so moist, so wonderful, so warm. Here's the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the listener has every right, if he's trusted Christ, he has every right to include himself in the word us. I'm going to read the verse again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, how wonderful. Now, as you and I go through this life, we're still in need of mercy. And we, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, we read these words, written by the Apostle Paul, I verily believe. Here they are. Pardon me. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can enjoy the mercies of God even to this day. You and I can enjoy them, and we can go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we receive? Receive mercy. Perhaps we have failed. Perhaps our hearts are down. And we go to the Lord and we just talk it over with the Lord. And the Lord hears our cries, and he knows our frame. He remembers that we're but dust. And he hears us. In his mercy, he grants us, he granted Peter a recommission after Peter had denied him. Oh, the mercies that were extended to Peter. Can you blame Peter for not mentioning, mentioning the word mercy? He was the subject of it. And you and I go and we receive mercy. But we find grace to help in time of need. That grace is in the form of strength, leading, and guidance. I just trust that as we continue in this study, 7 Methods of Bible Study, that we will take these avenues into the Word of God and see the treasures that await us there. Father, we commit ourselves to Thee at the end of the broadcast. Bless Your Word. Make these truths real to our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.